Good morning. The Bible reading this morning is from the New Testament, Acts, chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. There is a Bible in front of you in the pews, and in the large print Bible, it's on page 148. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. The word of God for the people of God. The psalm this morning is in your hymnal, the back of your hymnal, on page 850, Psalm 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when we live together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down upon the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore.
Good morning, church. Our epistle lesson this morning comes from the first letter of John, chapter 1, verse 1, through chapter 2, verse 2. If you'd like to follow along, you can find it on page 224, your New Testament Pew Bible, or on page 289 if you're using the larger print edition. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our own eyes, what we have looked at and touched at with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let me ask you to rise as you are able for the reading of the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31, in the New Testament, in the Pew Bible on page 108, and in the large print edition on page 141. When it was evening on that day being Resurrection Day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Jesus Christ is risen. Indeed. I said something at the end of my sermon last Sunday on Easter Sunday that may well have given you pause. I said this: the resurrection, the resurrection is the single most important event in all of human history. I said it in part because I was trying to be provocative. I was trying to provoke you, not to anger, but to thought. But I also said it because I believe that it is absolutely true. The resurrection is the single most important event in all of human history. Well, clearly you may not agree with me on this, and that's okay, and I'd like to have that discussion with you. But perhaps you would agree at least that the resurrection is the single most important event in the entire Bible. Think about all of the events that are recounted in the Bible. And then I want you to think about how much time is devoted to each of these individual events in our lectionary readings throughout the year. Well, you might argue, what about Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ? Well, it turns out that was a fundamentally important event. A pastor of mine once said, you know, unless he's born, he can't die. And that's true. But if you think about it, we only talk about that specific birth on one day of the church year, and that is Christmas Eve. Resurrection Day, on the other hand, is highlighted on Easter Sunday and on the next two Sundays. So that we will end up reading about Jesus' return from the dead for three consecutive Sundays. In addition to that, I would suggest that one of the most important statements in the entire Bible for modern Christian people is the proclamation of the man we have come to know as Doubting Thomas. Scripture says, a week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he turned to Thomas and he said, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas quickly looked up into the face of his Lord and said, "My Lord and my God." my Lord and my God. It seems to me that Thomas was no more doubting than any of the other 10 apostles. Jesus offered Thomas the exact same proof of the resurrection that he offered to all of the others. Maybe it'd be better if we referred to him as absent Thomas or tardy Thomas. But in any event, Thomas certainly got his theology right. My Lord and my God. Thomas was saying that indeed Jesus was his Lord. That is, Jesus was the teacher, the rabbi, the man who deserved his absolute allegiance above all others, including Caesar, the leader and self-proclaimed Lord of the Roman Empire. And Thomas understood that indeed Jesus was the long-promised, much-anticipated, God-anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Thomas understood that Jesus was fully human and fully divine. Thomas understood in his heart what we proclaim and affirm in the Nicene Creed. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. My Lord and my God. Yes, sir, Thomas got it. And so should we. In addition to this full recognition of the lordship and eternal divinity of Jesus, John helps us understand where this necessarily leads all of us. After describing the encounter between Jesus and Thomas, John makes another foundational point. He says, "Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in His name." The goal of the complete recognition of who Jesus is through the supernatural event of the resurrection is to provide God's people with life in His name. Earlier in his life, when Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, Jesus makes this statement. He says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The life that Jesus offers us is a life in community, a community of faith and fellowship and forgiveness and unconditional love, a foretaste of the kingdom of heaven. Think about what the Bible says, the several accounts of the appearance of the risen Christ. After Jesus showed himself to Mary Magdalene, every other time we hear him appearing, Jesus showed himself to two or more people at a time. Jesus is calling us into a life of community. Every one of the four lectionary readings from today illustrates the goal of living the full life as a result of Christ's resurrection. The book of Acts described the communal living of those who followed the risen Lord. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Psalm 133 proclaims, "How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity." 1 John reminds us of his original message of fellowship. "We declare to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in the darkness, we lie, and we do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another.
and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Finally, in John's account of the evening of the resurrection, as you heard, Jesus appeared beyond the locked doors of the upper room where his followers were meeting, and Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When you start thinking about it, living in faithful community is never easy. But it is surely the life in His name that Jesus wants for His followers. As John Wesley recognized in 1739, and what is still true today in 2015, life in Christ and life in Christian community is very different, and it is absolutely counter to the lifestyle of people in the secular world all around us. Hear these words from John Wesley. He says, "Directly opposite to this is the gospel of Christ. Solitary religion is not to be found there. Holy solitaries is a phrase no more consistent with the gospel than holy adulterers. The gospel of Christ knows of no religion but social, no holiness but social holiness." Wesley's words. It is primarily here in Christ's holy church that we begin to get a glimpse of God's kingdom. My friends, we must move beyond the pettiness and the small-mindedness of our human foibles and seek this view of heaven. When we truly follow the risen Christ, we must work to become and to be a community of the resurrection. As Paul says in his letter to the Colossians, "So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds not on the things that are above and not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." My sisters and brothers, beyond all the words of theology and religion, we stand in awe and fear and amazement as we see the pierced hands and feet and side of Christ. We must consider the truth and the implications of Jesus coming back to life in the supernatural reality of the resurrection. Jesus himself explained it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." In light of the love of salvation, we are called to live in Christian community. We are called to life in His name. My Lord and my God, indeed. Amen.